Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. It's Sunday morning, December 16th. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine, and I'm with the Church of Las Vegas. We are so glad to be able to broadcast to you this morning, this week or so, right before Christmas of 2018. You know, last time we looked at the Gospel of Luke concerning the birth of Jesus, and this morning I want to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. Now, a lot of people, as they start reading Matthew, they go, oh, what's this genealogy all about? What are all these names? And man, I can't even pronounce these. And why are all of these here? Well, like we talked about last week a little bit, those names are a part of the genealogy or the account of the origin of Jesus. You see, it was prophesied throughout the scripture that Jesus was going to be, and not just was, had to be a specific part of this genealogy or family line. And the reason he had to be is because God said he was going to be. You know, I was listening to someone the other day talking, and they were talking about how some of God's promises are unconditional. It's just, this is what God said, and God's going to do it whether we like it or not. And usually those things are things that have to do with the way of our salvation, for example. In other words, God determined that the only way that humanity can be saved is through Jesus, the Christ, or the Messiah. There's nothing you can do about that. That was God's decision. God brought that about, and there's nothing you can do one way or another to change that. Now, what is conditional is whether you're going to accept that sacrifice that God made for you of His own Son so that you can be saved, so that your sins can be forgiven, so that your guilt can be taken care of, so that instead of death, you can have everlasting life. Okay? I don't know about you, but that sounds like a no-brainer to me. But the genealogy was so that from time past and time forward that we could have this record to show what God has done among His creation. And so Jesus had to be the son of Abraham, all the way down through Abraham, all the way down through David, and all the way down to, in Matthew's account, it traces the genealogy of Joseph, who was not Jesus' literal father, of course, but it was the father that our heavenly Father chose to be Jesus' earthly father and to raise him up in the way that he should go. And so in chapter 1 of Matthew, after you get past all of the genealogies and names, it says in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, that's over in Luke's account. That's what we read last week, was how that Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to have a son, and he was going to be the son of the Most High. And Mary's like, how's this going to happen since I'm a virgin? And so Gabriel told her that the power of God would come on her and the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and so that the one to be born to her would be the Holy One of God. And so before they were married, Mary's pregnant. Now, okay, even in modern times, right? If that's the case, that's a little bit of a problem, isn't it? You know, you're going to get married, and all of a sudden you're supposedly virgin bride, and it isn't you. And so that's going to cause a little bit of tension, isn't it? And so we just are glad to recognize and know that Joseph, it says in verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, someone might say, well, why in the world would he have to do that? I mean, you know, if they were just pledged to be married, why did he need to divorce her? Well, back in those days, under Jewish law and tradition, everything, that their betrothal was pretty much like our marriage. It hadn't been consummated yet, but basically they were married and pledged to be married. And so because Joseph was faithful to the law, he knew that this couldn't be like this, but he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. That's the kind of man that he was. And so it says that he had in mind to divorce her quietly, to try to do it so that, yeah, it had to be done. I mean, you know, obviously, from his perspective, she's sinned. She's had relations with another man, and she's pregnant. And so he has to do what the law says, and yet he is compassionate enough to want to do it quietly. But verse 20 says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So, you know, David was a good guy, but he needed some more information, and God gave that to him. The angel appeared to him in the dream and told him that, hey, it's okay, and what Mary's telling you is right, even as unbelievable as it sounds, and this is the way it's going to be, and she's going to give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And so verse 22 says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Of course, this is Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, where he says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so that's the idea, that even when Jesus was here with us and performing all those miracles, that people were like, wow, God is among us. You know, what an amazing man he is to do all these amazing miracles. And so it says in verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. So, you know, what a guy Joseph was, all right? Not only did he have to deal with, you know, Mary was pregnant, and boy, talk about the gossip and slander and everything that must have been going on because of that. And, you know, people are telling him what he ought to do, and he's wondering what to do. And so what's so amazing about Joseph is that when he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Now, we've been talking about this at our church meetings the last couple of weeks, but how important it is to obey God. You can't just say, well, I believe in God, or I believe in Jesus. It needs to be, I believe in him enough that I'm going to do what he says. And so Joseph didn't just blow this angel off and go, oh, you know, I must have ate something wrong last night, or you know, something must have been in the water. He didn't do that. He recognized his dream as from an angel. It wasn't some hokey pokey thing or something he couldn't remember. It's very clear. And this is the thing. When the Lord chooses to communicate, it's not some nebulous whatever. It was very distinct. And Joseph understood what he said, and he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home and his wife. Now, here's the thing about Mary and Joseph. After Jesus, they didn't consummate the marriage, okay, because obviously they hadn't come together yet as a husband and wife, all right? That didn't happen until the actual marriage ceremony, but here Mary is pregnant. And so So they waited the next 6 months or so until after Jesus was born. And then after that, Joseph and Mary had a normal physical human relationships, and they had other sons and daughters. Jesus talks about his brothers and his sisters, okay? Jesus was not an only child, and, you know, the Catholic doctrine of, you know, the perpetuity of the virginity of Mary is false. It's wrong. It's not true that Mary was a wife to Joseph, just like any other wife after Jesus was born. And they had other children as well. And so this is something that, you know, you need to search the scriptures and see the truth and not just accept the traditions of men. And we need to do that with all things. We need to be Bereans and make sure that the things that we're being told are the truth. And that's why I like to preach right out of the Bible and share it with you what it says so that you can go back and verify the things that I'm talking about. So let's go ahead and take a break. Listen to our first song. You know, Christmas is, again, like we talked about last week, not just presents and trees and bells and Christmas songs. We had a great time this last Wednesday going caroling and sharing the Christmas spirit with different ones. But I'll tell you what, the reason for the season is Jesus. And we need to recognize that and remember that. So our first song this morning is a song by Toby Mac and Owl City. It's kind of fun. It's called Light of Christmas, and it's a little jazzy and a little moving this morning. So hopefully it'll wake you up if you're not quite there yet. But it just talks about, you know, what Christmas is really all about. So let's listen to them this morning.
Build a snowman with the wind at his back. Got the day planned and presents to wrap. Fight the wind chill with all my friends, 'cause it's Christmas time again. Going downtown and spreading good cheer, handing gloves out when we volunteer for the children, grinning from ear to ear, singing Christmas time is here.
And everybody's like, ha ha ha, ho ho ho. Four-wheel driving through the snow, fighting the cold with some hot cocoa. Grabbing grandma to the mall we go. And there's a man outside with a bucket and a bell, wants to go home with a story to tell. He's reminding us that his Christmas got nothing to do with living for himself. It's the light of Christmas shining through our eyes, our smiles. You know it could shine on through all the good that we do for the people that don't have it so good. The light of Christmas shining through our eyes, our smiles. You know it could shine on through all the good that we do for the people that don't have it so good.
Shining through, my eyes are smiles. You know it could shine on through all the good that we do for the people that don't.
Okay, we're back this morning after listening to Light of Christmas. Boy, that song will get you bouncing and moving and feet tapping and everything else, won't it? So anyway, when we think of Jesus being born, now Luke's account talked, you know, more about his birth and the angels and the shepherds and everything else, but I was just amazed again by the song "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" when we were singing it the other night during caroling, and I just wanted to read the words of the song and how well they picture what actually happened. So listen to the words of "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." It says, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." And then the second verse says, "Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." And then the third verse says, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." Boy, what amazing, what an amazing night that must have been. And sometimes, folks, you know what we need to do? We need to just stop for a minute, and we need to quit the rushing and the hurrying and the scurrying around and worrying about everything and stressing out about shopping and traffic and how we're going to pay for all this and everything else. And I hope that you're a people that prepare for Christmas. You know, one of the things that my family does, just on a practical way of doing things, is that starting in January, we set a little bit of money aside each month so that when December rolls around, or more like Black Friday for my wife, she does an amazing job getting on, especially Kohl's, and doing all that stuff online and Kohl's Cash and all the ways that she does it. I don't know how, but she's amazing when it comes to getting good deals and getting lots of different presents for people at a great price. But we save from January to November to, you know, make it not so much of a financial burden all of a sudden. My sister was telling me the other day that, I can't remember what it is, 20% of people or somebody like that, that they're still paying on their credit cards for last year's Christmas presents. And, you know, that doesn't make for a merry Christmas. It makes for a stressed out one, and especially in January when you get the bill. And so, you know, there's some practical things that you can do, and you can start looking for different things throughout the year. Who says you have to wait until the last minute to go do all your Christmas shopping? You know, look for things that people are interested in, that you know they might like. And you know, it doesn't even have to be a gift per se. It could be a service. Could be something you do for somebody, and sometimes those are really neat gifts. But I just want you to know that there's lots of different things you can do to make Christmas less stressful so that we can take our time and really enjoy, you know, what the season's all about. We get so caught up in all of the celebration and all of the services and all the different things sometimes that sometimes we forget to remember that this is all about Christ being born. But it's not just about Christ being born. It's about why he was born. And I love that, what we just read from "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," especially the line about that the Word became flesh there and he dwelt among us. The incarnate deity became flesh. And that's just just so awesome to think of the salvation that God has prepared, that God has planned, that God has made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just the angels and the shepherd. It wasn't even just Mary and Joseph, but it says in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So, I mean, these are all amazing things, prophecies from the Old Testament that the Jews had, that the Jews didn't just keep to themselves, but they were disseminated. And so these stargazers, these watchers of the stars in the sky, these magi from the east, they recognized that this star was the one that was prophesied in Numbers and Jeremiah. And so here they came, and it, you know, that's an amazing story in and of itself, is that how did they know and where did they find out and all those questions that we wish we had solid answers to. But the point of it is they saw the star and they came to worship the King of the Jews. Now, of course, when King Herod heard about it, he was all disturbed and wanted to know where the Messiah was to be born. And they said in Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. That in fact, not only that Jesus was going to be born, but he had to be born in Bethlehem. We mentioned that last week. And so Herod called the Magi and told them, go search carefully for the child. And when you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Yeah, right. The sly old fox, he just wanted to get rid of him like he tried to do every other political enemy in his mind. And so after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of him until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So they spent months and months and months and months traveling after Jesus was born. And when they finally got to Bethlehem, they came to the house where Mary and Joseph and the baby were staying. Now, contrary to the popular, you know, Christmas themes and movies and animated things and everything else, the wise men didn't come to the stable where Jesus was born. They came afterwards. He was, you know, between his birth and about 2 years old when they finally got there. And when they came to the house, they saw the child with Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped. So they came all that way, folks. They came all that way to worship Jesus. That's amazing to me. And they brought him treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh, recognizing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I hope that's where you're at this Christmas season. I hope you recognize that when Jesus came as a little baby, that was God in flesh. And those wise men, they recognized that, and they honored him, and they glorified him, and they bowed down to him. And friend, you know, this Christmas season, if you haven't done that, you know, I want to encourage you to think about your soul. I want to encourage you to think about whether or not you've made a decision to honor Jesus or not with your life. All right, our last song this morning is a song by Pentatonix called Mary, Did You Know? And the words of this song are amazing too, as this song is all about, wow, did you know that your baby was God? And so let's listen to Pentatonix sing Mary, Did You Know?
Sight to a blind man.
Mary, did you know?
did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect land?
All right, what a great way to end the broadcast with that song, and especially the line, you know, Mary, did you know that when you kiss the face of your baby boy, you're kissing the face of God? Jesus was the exact representation of God in human flesh. And so thanks so much for listening this morning. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast and the songs. Hope you're in the merry, merry Christmas spirit season of this time of year, and I hope you just rejoice that Jesus, your Savior, was born right according to God's plan and purpose. We're the Church of Las Vegas. We'd love to have you come and visit us at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we would love to have you come and visit us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have a Bible study and prayer. We'd encourage you to come for any and all of those. Please, we'd love to get to know you. Also, you can go on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and find out all kinds of information about us, learn who we are, and listen to old broadcasts and sermons, things like that. But whatever you do, just have a great, great Christmas season. We'll see you next week, Lord willing. And until then, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.